The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to everyone who is here in person, and welcome to everyone who's joining us online. It is good that we are all here together on this journey of the 13th Sunday of Pentecost. It is good to be together, and together we will experience God this morning in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other, the gathered community. As we prepare ourselves for worship this morning, I invite you all to stand if you can stand, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands for and with you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who greets us in this and every season, whose word never fails, whose promise is sure.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of our neighbor. Merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned, we have hurt our community, we have squandered your blessings, we have hoarded your bounty. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
Righteous God,
we confess that we have sinned, we have failed to be honest, we have lacked the courage to speak, we have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
God is a cup of cold water when we thirst. God offers boundless grace when we fail. Claim this gift of God's mercy. You are free and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Christ, the Lord.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Well, today I have been told that there is a treasure somewhere in this church. And when you're looking for a treasure, what do you need?
Map.
A map, yes. So we have been luckily to be given a little bit of a treasure map. And so can you make heads or tails of this? What does this look like? It's maybe our fuse, yeah? So here's the treasure. Where do you think we have to go to get it?
There.
Okay, so let's go get
it. Don't we need the key?
Well, first of all, let's get the treasure. The key without the treasure. All right, so. Well, we'll get there. Where do we get? What do we got? We found a treasure box. All right, very good. Now let's go back. But we got a problem that's already been pointed out by an intelligent young man. What is the problem with the treasure?
It's
locked. It's locked. So we got a treasure with a lock. It doesn't do as much good. So what do we have to go do?
Find the key.
Find the key. And where's the key?
Back there.
Back there. Okay, let's go back there. The key. And for those looking, the key is underneath the baptismal font.
Oh.
So the key. We have a treasure, we have a key, you have to have the key to open the treasure. We found the treasure. We found the key. So now let's open it up. Everybody's back. I know that's a long journey for you.
I'm sorry.
So if we open our treasure, we're
have a nugget of wisdom, which says, God is with you. Okay? But the only way to find out that God is with us is to get the key at the waters of baptism that says God loves you. See, God loves you, and that unlocks this mystery that God is always with you. Okay? Our text today is all about locks and keys and the key to unlock this great mystery of God's presence in our life. Starts in that foundation that God loves you all. So let us pray. All of our visitors, we're on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together in the form of prayer. One, two, three. Now repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. This morning's first reading would be from Isaiah chapter 51, starting with verse 1. A reading from Isaiah. Hear now the word. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness. You think that you seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the people. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it and will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 138. I will read the light if you will please follow with dark. It's on page 4 of your bulletin. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise.
I will bow down before your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord. That great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet there is glory, preceding the mighty from the far off.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your promise for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1. A reading from Romans. Hear now the word. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have more gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministry, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. So I alluded to this in the words of the week, if you had a chance to read it, but this whole passage of gates and keys, brings me back to my previous profession. There's nothing says anything more or revolves more around the life in a prison as gates and keys. And before you can even walk into a prison as a staff member, you have to go to this day-long course called key control, where they tell you the importance of keys. And at that point, you learn this, what I'm going to call the first law of quantum prison mechanics, which is that keys can only exist in two states. A key can exist in your hand, a key can exist in your pocket, but woe to you if you cause a key to exist in any other location. Keys do not belong on counters, in backpacks, on hangers. They belong in your key or in your pocket. And many a time, I shouldn't say many a time, but there were a few a times when some staff member wandered into my office and confessed to me that they had broken that law and now don't know where their keys are. And of course, that would mean that the entire facility would be shut down, locked down, and exhaustive searches would be undertaken to find those keys. And if those keys were not found, then the entire prison would have to be re-keyed. Imagine the amount of time and money and energy that would go into that. But keys are also like the nuclear codes. No one ever has all of them. And so you would only get the keys that unlocked your little world of that prison. If you worked in the units, your keys only operated cell doors. It would never get you out of the unit. If you worked outside, moving around, responding, your key opened a lot of other doors. It would never open a cell door. And so obviously, the control of those keys, if they got lost, are critical. So what do keys do? And it might be obvious to us all, but keys unlock things. Keys open things. And that brings us to the next element of our text, gates. And one of the privileges I had was working in this prison that was built in the 1900s, 120 years old by the time I got there. And so as you can imagine, and I'll invite you to think of the Shawshank Redemption, if you want a picture of that,
looks like this little castle, complete with walls, towers, and a gatehouse. This gatehouse you had to get in to enter into it. And that's when I learned my childhood dreams of being a knight, that such a thing as a Sally Port continues to exist in the modern world. And a Sally Port, for those who are questioning it, what in the world is that? We have that expression, Sally Port. And it comes with this idea that on your gate, you have an inner and an outer gate. And so if your castle is besieged, you can open the inner gate, cram all your knights into there, close that inner gate, open the outer gate, and then they can sally forth. And they can secure that outer gate. So those gates are never both open at once. Gates are important. And so this brings up this second law of prison quantum mechanics. That to get your shift into the prison takes about four of these sally ports going in and out. It takes a very long time. It takes about a half hour to get your incoming shift in. But somehow, in the laws of the way they are of physics, that outgoing shift can all get into the one. But what do gates do? Gates stop you from moving. And so the movement of our text today, I want you to think that keys and gates do opposite things. Gates stop, keys open. Think of that dynamics as we explore a little of our gospel text today. Jesus takes them to the city, and we have a movement in our gospel into the final confession of what his followers think Jesus is. And then Jesus says, once their confession has been made by Peter, that the gate of Hades will not prevail against you in this gathering of believers that we call the church. So we have a gate, and we have some discussions of keys. And the question for us then is to ponder what exactly, how is the church exactly prevails against a gate? And gates that block are also not mobile. Gates do not come out to the church. If the church is to have some kind of engagement with the gate, it's because the church itself goes to the gate. It goes to a gate of oppression, a gate of death, a gate that says you are separated from God, and it opens that gate. And so then our only question might be then, how does the church do this opening? It's because they possess a key. And this key isn't that we did it or that we had the magic solution. The key is simply that this is something that God has done. God in Christ Jesus has come down into this world. The one who is fully God, fully human, the one where heaven and earth meet, and has decided that the solution to sin and death in this world is to somehow come journey with us and die on our cross to swallow up the forces of evil in himself. And on rising on the third day, these forces of sin and death are then destroyed. And we are given this message, this key to go out and to say to those who believe that they have something is separating them from God, that indeed nothing anymore is separating you. This Christ has destroyed that wall. We are to go out and proclaim the message of liberation to those who are oppressed, to speak life to those who are dying. Because nothing in all of reality can now separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. As Paul will say, nothing in life, nothing in death. Because the one in whom heaven and earth meet has come to open up this way so that heaven and earth can meet in us. That God is here with us and in us and for us. And that we are now united to God through Christ Jesus. And that is why we wash. That is why we eat of this victory meal, to experience the presence of God in a physical way for us, in us, so that we know the division is resolved, the gate is open, and we are accepted by God. Amen.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. O God, your Spirit gathers the church. Shepherd those who are newly baptized and newly ordained in the proclamation of the gospel. Breathe life into ecumenical and interreligious endeavors, and support missionaries throughout the globe. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You created the earth and all its inhabitants, and declared it good. Clean, polluted skies, seas, and soil provide nourishment to plants and animals, and make us aware of our impact on the environment. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call leaders to bridge differences and practice generosity. Inspire all in authority to protect people in harm's way. Deliver those in homage. Support fair election. Provide care for military personnel and veterans, and show mercy to those for whom they have responsibility. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Embrace people who have been rejected because of difference. Heal trauma caused by racism or prejudice. Shield any who are persecuted. Console the dying and heal the sick, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Era, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Marcia, Digby, family of Gail Langhurst, victims of the war in Ukraine, earthquake in Turkey and Syria, the people of Furlong Lutheran Church, Lebanon, and St. Timothy Church, flooding in Vermont, fires in Maui. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, you journey with us in all of life's transitions. Guide those preparing for baptism, marriage, and retirement. Guide our church council and committees in their visioning and ministry. Safeguard those who travel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks for those who now rest from their labors, especially Bernard of Clairvaux, whom the church commemorates today. Motivate us by their lives of dedication to the gospel, until that day when we join with them in our eternal home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to itself, Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
Also,
we invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
invite the congregation to now stand as we prepare for our meal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Make us a sign of your faithfulness. Send us to tend and nourish the earth and to serve the world with mercy and love. With all the saints in light and with all the earth and its creatures, with sun, moon, and stars, we praise you, O God, through Jesus Christ, in your spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered in one, let us pray as our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom we call out.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all who are here are welcome to come forward and partake of these gifts. In a minute, our usher will come, and we'll have this side go first, and then this side. We ask you to come forward with your hand outstretched to receive the element in your hand. There are three options available, and then you'll come to the station of the liquid, and you will reach in and take the red liquid, which is wine, or the clear liquid, which is grape juice. But no, these are God's gifts. They are for you. All will come, and if you wish to come and just receive a blessing, come with your arms crossed. But know that this bears the promise that God is here for you. Amen.
Mercy on us.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshments we have received at your table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
We take this moment now to open up the floor for any announcements for the good of the order. And our knees in the back with the microphone. If you have to announce those, just so you can.
I would like to invite people to the Burroughs House down behind Pig and Pancake. We're going to have outreach. It's going to be there pulling weeds and making it look a lot better for our city. That's our outreach community project with Dan Moore. Today at 2 o'clock.
How do you know that?
Today at 2. And we got Canada back.
Just like to draw your attention to the words of the week bulletin inside of the bulletin that Sarah you got today. There's a note there from Social Ministry regarding making donations or bringing a gift card of $25 that we can support Samaritan House with for the kids to go back to school. And there's also a little note there about support for the victims of Maui fires. If you'd like to write a check in the memo line on both of these, you can put it's either for Samaritan House or for the fires in Maui. Thank you.
Any more announcements? And just a quick reminder that on Thursdays at 1 o'clock, I'm taking whoever shows up to the beach for a beach walk. Guys, this Thursday, it looks like it might be overcast and drizzly. I will still go with whoever shows up. So if you wish to have some time, sometimes it's a group of 10, sometimes it's 1 or 2, but it's the time to get to know whoever shows up and have an informal time. And if you want to come and just talk about something, that's the time of year. And of course, I'm always available if you want to schedule a time where we can sit down in a more formal setting. Always here for whoever is here. For our guests and friends, know that you want further contact from me, there's on our sign-up sheet out front, you can request contact, and the means by which you want me to engage in that, and I will get a hold of you at some point in the week. But with that all being said, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the closing benediction. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, bless, keep, and sustain you now and until the end of the age.